Well, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting bestowed upon us, not because man says so, but because God says so. And he does it to us in his word and in our baptism. And that's the theme of what we're rolling at as we're kind of looking at these Sundays that are after Easter from the book of Acts. And the question that a lot of the people in the book of Acts is, we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're filled with life and joy. What do we do next? And we can look at their lives and see what God does and moves and how he continually works in the midst of crazy obstacles. God plants himself and he causes miracles to come through in ways and things we never even truly understand. All these things. The world is filled with things we cannot understand. And one of the big things of the world that we don't understand is something that's called the Dancing Plague of 1518, right? Who's heard of this plague? A few of you have, great students of history, so you know I'm not pulling your leg on this, right? It was in Strasbourg, not Germany, because it was the Holy Roman Empire at this time. For those that are keeping track, I did read this. So the Dancing Plague was, it started like this. This lady went out in the road in Strasbourg and she began to dance and dance. And some other people joined her and she danced and danced. And other people joined her. And it just wasn't for hours. It just wasn't for a day. It wasn't even just for a week. In fact, they would fall over with exhaustion. And writers have described that people had died of heart attacks and whatnot because of this. And it went on and on and on. And they wrote about it in the minutes of the history of the city. It was kept in hospital records of people trying to figure this out with doctors. And many sermons were written in that area concerning this. And we never understand anything more than that had happened. Or maybe you remember this big mystery, the Mary Celeste in the Atlantic Ocean in 1872. It was just floating out there. Another ship comes by. There's no lifeboats at all. No record of anyone. No, they're just gone. There was no sign of the boat being pillaged by pirates. No one ever knew what happened to the crew of the Mary Celeste. It will be an unending mystery of the world. But now think of our Ethiopian trying to figure out the mysteries of God as he's reading this text in Isaiah about this person, this one person being led like a lamb to slaughter. He was totally confused. He says, I can't understand this. Who can understand the things of God? Who knows these mysteries? And we can label the mysteries as well, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Who can understand these things? How can the body and blood of Jesus on the cross come to us and deliver such amazing gifts to us? Who understands all these things? But the Holy Spirit knew what was happening and sent Philip, you're going to have to go and help this Ethiopian who has been traveling and has come across the word of God and have a miracle happen in him. And so the Ethiopian is saying, how can I understand unless someone guides me in these things? And we know that we get into the word of God and it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes, the Holy Spirit that causes us to discern and interact with this. But it was just so far, he had no one to lead him up. He had no idea that he shouldn't touch the oven because it was hot. No one to guide him until Philip comes along by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes into his life and he begins to guide him because there's only one word. And we've been looking at the ones of this Easter season. And today we get to that one word and that one baptism. Because these are the big players in all of the book of Acts. The word of God taking people and transforming their lives. Because that's exactly what the word of God does. It transforms. So here the Ethiopian is he's engaging with the word of God. And then Philip is getting the opportunity to point, Jesus is this lamb who has gone to slaughter like a sheep gone to slaughter. And he spoke not, but he went in our place. He is that propitiation. He's the one that takes on our sins so that we are saved. He transformed The Word of God transformed the Ethiopian that day. And in those conversations, he discovered. Now, one of the great quotes of Scripture, and you all know this one. You already have this memorized. You may not just know the reference, but you have this quote memorized. It simply is, God said. Remember that Genesis 1:3? God said, let there be. For the Ethiopian, let there be faith. Let there be a transformation, because God says so. This is the power of his word that transforms. This is the power of God. He says, let there be light out of the darkness. Let there the void be gone. Let there be land. Let there be animals. And he created through the power of his word. And that word of God, as we know, as we could put tons of Bible passages here that talk about his word that does not go out and return empty. God's word goes out and it accomplishes. God says, and the transformation occurs, and then there is empowerment. The Ethiopian, oh, what do I do next? Tell me more about this baptism. He's empowered. Like, what is next? Or why can't I be baptized? Well, Philip cried and said, I can think of no reason. Here is some water. Let us go and let this happen as well. The power of this baptism, this one baptism for the remission of sins, the baptism that delivers us from sin, death, and the devil, the baptism that overcomes death, the baptism that delivers us into everlasting life. If you've memorized your three power events of baptism from your catechism, those are it. This one baptism that comes on the Ethiopian gets him ready for what is next, because it too transforms, because you cannot have baptism away from the Word of God. You cannot have baptism away from the Holy Spirit. You cannot have baptism that is away from the powerful transforming miracles of God. Who can understand this? Who can understand how this can be, that this water connected to the power and promises of God's word can do such a miracle? And the Ethiopian understood. The baptism for the forgiveness of sins. From 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. It's the power source. It's what is doing the work. You know, it's very nice for us to say, we believe, so I'm going to be baptized. That's awesome. But baptism is more than a confession of faith, an act of symbolism. It is, from 1 Peter, the power source of the Holy Spirit connected to the Word of God that floods itself into our lives. And it not only transforms like the Word of God, it too empowers. We're living in the power of the Word of God, living in the power of that baptism, that one baptism, that one word of God that does it all. No matter what we try, how hard we try, we cannot add to the word of God. No matter how hard we try, we cannot add to the power of baptism. It is what comes from heaven unto us. What you do and about it does not add to its divinity. It does not add to its beauty or its power. He is the power source in all this. So the Ethiopian comes along and he is being transformed and empowered in this traveling trip for one reason, the expansion of the gospel through him. And then suddenly, Philip is just like gone. He's already in Asteris as he just shows up there. I don't know if that's a mini time travel event for him or just how that works. I can't understand it. But that's what God's word says. And the Ethiopian finishes up his business and has gone to be this great missionary in a different land. So we see that the question is, where do I fit in? Am I that person that's living and hungry for the Word of God? Am I living in the power of my baptism? Am I transformed? Am I empowered? Or is it still all about me and what I like and what I don't like in this world? Empowered in God's Word, or are you still doing something else? The Holy Spirit calls upon His church to move, to be the Philips of the church, to be the Ethiopians of the church that are hungry and being filled and raised up. And of course, the Philips being sent by the power of the Holy Spirit to impact the lives of people. This past week, I was reminded, and I kind of popped it in here as a response to the church, like with the Ethiopian, what do I do next? And I remembered three questions that you always ask whenever you're trying to connect with a church. You know, we teach them to our college kids and kids that are going out, or young families that are moving or whatever. There's three questions that you ask when you're connected to a church. The first one is, what do you teach? Is it your interpretation or is it God's word? Now, we in the Lutheran world, we teach scripture in church is scripture. The pastor doesn't have the privilege to interpret scripture. Scripture does. The Holy Spirit does. God's word comes to us. So what are you teaching? What you think or what God's word is along the way? So that's a very important question that's really cast aside. It's all about what does it have to offer me in programs and values and things like that wins the race. But when you look at the life of the Ethiopian, we really have to ask this question, what are the teachings? Do they flow from the divinity of God? Or they what you think, what you feel, what you druther, what you would like? Which, of course, is nonsense. Okay, number two. I hope you brought a little bit of a smile out of that. Number two is, how do I fit in? If I'm going to be connected, how do I fit in? Can you imagine the Ethiopian? I'm going back to a place where there really is no church, there is no Christianity. How am I going to fit in? And there's only one answer for him. He's going to have to plant the gospel, what Philip is doing. He's going to go on and continue on. But in our world, when we're engaging, how do I fit in? Who are the people who are filling me up with the Holy Spirit? Who are the people who are encouraging and building? And who am I doing that to as well? One of the greatest things has happened to me this past week that just, you know, stopped me in my tracks and I start tearing up because it was done in such authenticity. There's a new friend of mine. She comes to one of our Zoom Bible studies. She doesn't leave and live in Florida. Maybe some of you were in the Bible study itself. She says, well, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you every day. I mean, who hears that? Who has someone tell them that? I'm in a privileged position where I do get that, and I do need that because the pounding of the world upon pastors is intense indeed. And we, how do we fit in? Who are we encouraging and building and lifting up? And who are the ones that are doing that in our lives? How do I fit in so that Jesus fills me so that I can fill others? Which brings us to the third question. How can I serve Jesus? And based on our gospel reading, we probably need to change that question and say, how can I bear fruit so I'm not chopped down, right? How can I serve? And that's an amazing question that we ask, and it doesn't happen very often, any of these three questions in our churchmanship. It really all becomes upon, here's what I like. But the better questions are, what do you teach? How am I going to fit in with this? How am I going to bear fruit? Then the church is at its best. Three little questions that the Ethiopian and both Philip had to deal with as God was working in their lives. Same as in our, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. We've got this one resurrection that has filled us up with Easter joy for now and in eternity. How joyful we shall be when we are safely brought to shore in heaven and see all the loved ones that have gone before us, that we can not only reach out and touch our Messiah, but the whole church that has been garnered up in the forgiveness of sins. What joy will fill us there. But for now, we ask, Lord, what is next for me in your will? How are you going to work through my love for you? For dear Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing, right? Nothing. All of your best intentions, all of your goodwills, all of your money allocations mean nothing apart from the will of Jesus in him. What a beautiful gift the Ethiopian used in the Word of God that changed him forever. The Word of God came upon him in the midst of a world of bad news. He had good news. In the midst of a world that could only offer tears and sadness, he received baptism. In the midst of the world that wants to tell you what to do and how to do it, we have a God that rises and shines in us and gives us, "Thy will be done in you." Because we're connected with him in that one word, that one baptism, transformed and empowered, we are people of joy in a world that needs the resurrection of Jesus placed upon them. What a great spot we are in this first Sunday of May, leading into a whole rest of the year of a world that needs Jesus. And boy, do we have him. In Jesus' name, amen.